He's alongside us. He lives in us. Listen, to be led by the Spirit means that He is controlling. He's the number one control influencer in your life, not media or Instagram or those TikTok, whatever. The Holy Spirit is. Amen?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Now, if you're tuning in for the very first time, we're currently airing Pastor Bill's series from the New Testament epistle of 1 John. And today, Pastor concludes the message, Real Love Brings Assurance. Now, Pastor.
In John 15:13, Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. I don't believe that any of us, but will ever be called to do that, okay? But we will be called to do the next verse, okay? Look at 17. But whoever has this world's goods, in other words, you have a little bit of money, you know, you're able to eat, and you see your brother in need. Now, that doesn't mean you see him one time. It means there's a process going on, okay? So over a period of time, you see your brother, he's in need. And so instead of helping him, it says, and you shut up his heart from him, and slams the door on your heart. And John said, well, how in the world does the love of God abide in him? John Stott said this, as life does not dwell in the murderer, that's verse 15, so love does not dwell in the miser, that's here in verse 17. Listen, do you know good, encouraging, warm words, are they good? Yeah. Listen, man, we need to build one another up. But will words, just words alone, will they feed the children in Mexico? No. I mean, they sound good. They're tender. They're full of meaning. But they have no action. They're only words. They're spoken words. Amen? And so he's saying here, you know, listen, words don't really help. You got to do something. I mean, like with the Good Samaritan, did words pour in the oil and the wine? No. He loved him and so forth. The priest and the Levite, when they came down from Jerusalem, serving in the temple, going home, on that road, and there was a man who was half dead on the road and dying and so forth, you know what they did? They passed by on the other side, amen? However, if you had stopped them and questioned them about their faith, oh man, listen, they would have stood their ground, they would have defended it. But here, they didn't demonstrate their love at all. But here's what I want you to really think about. I deal with this verse all the time, with believers, but also with those in the world, okay, that are not believers. And I don't want you to misunderstand this verse, okay? Everything that John just said, absolutely true. But this also is speaking of not a handout. See, if you give a person a handout, is it really just kind of keeping them in the same position? Yeah. And did you know that God doesn't have anything to keep you in the same position that you're in? He's taking you always from glory to glory. Amen? Whenever the beggar there in Acts chapter 3 was begging at the time of prayer, and Peter and John at 9 a.m. they come in, and he's out there begging, and Peter looks at him, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Amen? In other words, I don't have anything to keep you in the position that you're in as a cripple and a beggar, but what I do have, I give unto you. So when we read this verse, don't think it's a handout. It means that you're going to lift your hand and pull them up where they don't have to be there again. Amen? Now, listen very carefully. You have to be wise on this verse. And I don't know why I'm going into this, except maybe the Lord is saying, Bill, you got to emphasize this right now. And that is, what does it say in, was it 2 Thessalonians, I think 3:10, right in that area. Paul the Apostle said, if anyone does not work, he does not eat. That means those that are capable of working. Some are not, amen? Okay, but if a person is capable of working and you're trying to rip off the church, you're not going to get a penny, amen? Yeah. Or if you say, oh, I can't handle my credit cards, that's your problem. You need to learn how to do that. Come on. Amen. Come on. We've all been there. We all have to learn the hard way. Amen. So, you know, so, but we must love our brothers the right way and sisters the right way. And if we don't, you know what we do? We end up hurting them and never, never helping them because we keep them exactly where they are. And may I say that when you see your brother in need, it may mean more. That doesn't, might not even mean money. It just might mean putting your arm around them. It might mean, can I pray for you? Can I take you to lunch? Are you in the hospital? You understand? That's what that verse is speaking of. Look, verse 18 now. He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue. In other words, just a bunch of talk, but in deed. So we love in action. Love is a verb. He says, and in truth, meaning we love God's way. Listen, anyone can say, I love you, brother. Anyone can say, I not only love you, I'm going to be praying for you. What was your name again? You know? No. We don't want to substitute words for love. Amen? No. Verse 19. And by this, in other words, by loving others in deed and truth, by this, look what happens. Well, oh, look at this assurance. We know we are of the truth, and there's that word, and shall what? Assure. That word literally means to set our hearts at rest and at peace. Oh, we shall assure our hearts, our inner man, before God. Aren't you glad that the child of God lives always in the presence of our Father? He sees, he always does. So listen, real love in action always brings great assurance to our hearts. And here it says that we know that we belong to the truth. We know that we belong to the Lord. His love is working in us. We have compassion. You know, I was reading a story, not reading a story, talking to someone, had lunch with them, and he was very ill. And he looked very ill. He hadn't shaven, looked like he hadn't combed his hair in 5 years, and you know what I mean? And he's my relative. Anyway, and so we're having Thanksgiving, or I don't know when it was, Christmas maybe. And so, he looks bad. And he goes, yeah, Bill, you're not going to believe what happened. I said, what? He said, well, I went to the grocery store where I live, and, you know, and I can barely walk, and I go in and get my groceries and get up to the grocery to pay for them. And this woman looks at me and she says, oh my, I'm buying his groceries. And I said, you let that woman buy your groceries, Steve? Steve, that's my brother. And he goes, well, I didn't. What am I going to do? She just paid for them. And I said, did she know that you have enough money to buy that entire grocery store and everything else? And it's the truth, you know. But you know what motivated that was the love in that person, amen? See, you know that you're of the truth. Why? God's love, God's compassion is working in your heart. And look what happens, though, if our heart condemns us, in the Greek, again, I hate to always say it, but it makes more sense. It is present tense, meaning continually condemns us. Look what it says now. God is greater than our heart. And not only that, God knows all things. Now, I don't know where you stand, loved one, but listen very carefully. My heart is highly, highly skilled in condemning me, okay? I mean, sometimes my heart beats me up for days, and literally. You remember some time ago I told you that story that I was on church business, Becky and I, there at the people who take care of your money, the accountants and all that, and your tithes and records, all that stuff. So we had to drop off some kind of tax stuff or whatever it was to the accountants. And when we pulled off of the highway here, 377, into the area, I was blown away. I pulled in and stopped, and there was a young teenage girl. Y'all probably remember the story. She was nude from here down. She's probably 15 years old. And she turned and looked at me. I stopped the car, and I said, oh, my God, we got to help her, honey. I didn't want to stay in the highway. I pulled immediately up to the tax place and parked and came back. She was gone. Remember what I told you? Y'all remember? I said, oh, my gosh. I felt like I sinned. I felt like I failed. I mean, for days. I grieved for days over that. because she was gone. I couldn't find her. I didn't know where she was. I wanted to help her. Amen? So, I felt like I failed loving her. But God, it says, is greater than our hearts. Does he know all things? Amen. And he knew, even though I feel like I failed, I still feel that way. He knew my heart and my intentions were real. I wanted to help her. I wanted to rescue her. But my heart, it gave me the wrong verdict, and your heart can give you the wrong verdict as well. Yes, I feel like I failed, but I didn't, because what I did was out of God's love. Amen? So that's an incredible, incredible scripture. Now, but listen, if our heart, what causes our heart to condemn us? It's lack of love. Lack of love gives us where we don't have assurance, okay? So that's so important. Love is, again, the defining mark of the believer. And you know what? Your heart can get you in trouble. I mean, it was just yesterday, man. I mean, especially in your marriage. You know, Becky was standing in front of the mirror. I was, and I can't hear out of this ear. Y'all know that. I got hearing aid, but I haven't got them adjusted. But I have too much pride to wear them. I just keep them in my pocket. pull it out if I want to do something with it. No. And so she's standing in front of the mirror, and she's looking. And man, I don't know. She wasn't happy with what she saw, and she just said to me, "I feel horrible. I look horrible. Look at my hair. I'm just getting so old." And she said, "You know how women are, men." And she said, "I really need, honey. I really need a compliment right now." And I'm searching, and I'm going, "Your eyesight is very good." Don't do that. But I'm joking. But I did say, God knows my heart. Now, let's look, where are we at? Verse 21? Yes, verse 21. Praise the Lord. I can get away from that passage. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, watch this now, we have what? Okay, we have assurance, we have boldness, we have assurance toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him. See, when we love the brethren, and we know we're loving other people, and it's not like we try, we just want to do it because there's a love of God in us, it brings us assurance and boldness as we come to God in prayer. And look at the reason. The reason it does is because, number one, we keep his commandments. And not only that, number two, we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Listen, when we love one another, when we love our neighbor as ourselves, when we love our enemies and pray for them and do good to them and bless them and take them up to the throne of grace, when we do those things, we can go to the throne of grace, and we can pray with assurance or certainty. Amen? That's what assurance does. Listen, imagine we can go to the throne of grace where, with assurance that there's not one thing against us. Access without any condemnation. Amen? Oh, what assurance is that? So when we love each other, we can pray with assurance because our hearts are not only right with one another, they are right with God. You know, when we get over to chapter 5, I believe it's 14 and 15 of 1 John, it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him." The word confidence is boldness or assurance. Assurance, we can be absolutely 100% assured of this. "Now this is the confidence or the assurance that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his" what? His will. Not our will, his will. What is the will of God? The word of God. Amen? Okay. It says he hears us, and we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that the petitions that we have asked of him. What a word is that? In other words, when you pray for people that are lost, is it God's will that everyone be saved? Okay, well then, boy, you have that assurance. I'm praying the perfect will of God. So that assurance in prayer. Now, so when we walk in love, everything that we do is pleasing in his sight. And what is that commandment? Look in verse 23. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Do you believe in Jesus? Amen. And here it is, and love one another as he, meaning Jesus, gave the commandment. That, again, that's the new commandment that we've built this church on, right? John 13, 34, and 35. So our Father has issued a twofold command. Number one, believe. Number two, love. They cannot be separated, because if a person truly believes in Jesus, are they born again? Do you have new life in you? If you have new life in you, you're going to love one another. Look at verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments, you guard them, you want to do them. His commandments are not difficult. 1 John 5:3, and this is love for God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not, what? Burdensome. They're not going to weigh you down. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So here, now he who keeps my commandments, look at this, abides or lives or remains in Jesus, and Jesus in him. Now watch. By this we know. There's that word gnosko again, experiential knowledge. By this we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus abides, he makes his home, he lives forever, he remains in us. But look how. How do we get this assurance? It says, by the what? The Spirit. Not, isn't it funny that John doesn't use Holy Spirit? Matter of fact, this is his first mention, even of the Spirit. He says, by the Spirit whom he has what? Given to us. The Holy Spirit is a gift of God. So the assurance that we, through our entire life, now listen, the assurance that we are in Jesus, that he lives in us and we live in him, comes from the Holy Spirit. There's no such thing as Christianity without the Holy Spirit, loved one. You know, we can have that assurance. It says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, they are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption or sonship, daughtership, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit in us, bears witness with us, not to us, with us. We've been made one. Amen? It says, with us, in our spirit, here it comes, we are, present tense, right now and forever, children of God. Loved one, that is called the incredible assurance of salvation. Amen? We know that we are saved, but listen to me. We, the church today, the 21st century church, so different from the early church. They were led by the Holy Spirit. They walked in the Spirit. Amen? And they knew the Holy Spirit of God. And you cannot be led by someone that you do not know, or that you do not, or you're not aware of, or that you do not acknowledge. Amos 3:3, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? You can't walk in agreement with somebody you don't know. He is right here with us right now. Amen? He's alongside us. He lives in us. Listen, to be led by the Spirit means that he is controlling, he's the number one control influencer in your life, not media or Instagram or those TikTok, whatever. The Holy Spirit is, amen? He is always leading you in truth because he is the Spirit of truth. He is always taking you from glory to glory to glory into Christ's likeness, into the same image of our Lord. He is always doing all those things, loved one, and he is always leading us. And you can't love without him. I can't love without him. We have that love in us, amen? The fruit of the Spirit is love, Galatians 5:22. He lives in us right this minute. And matter of fact, if he's directing our lives, are we going to be ambassadors for Christ? Are we going to be fishers of men? Listen, this world, is it passing away? We should be concerned about those who are going to pass away with it in this generation. We don't want them to, amen? And neither does God. See, that's how it is to be led by the Spirit. So here's the deal. As we wrap all this up, real love assures or gives us real assurance. For example, Philippians 1:6. But we can be confident, Paul said, in this very thing, that he who began a good work in us will complete it until the very day of redemption. Amen? Can you really rest in that? No. I'm serious. The Word of God The Word of God, can you rest in that and say, I have the assurance. I know I'm saved. I'm sure. I am so sure that I will never see death. Do you understand? Oh, this old body, if the rapture doesn't happen, yes, my body is going to give way. There's not a doubt about it. But you know what? My body's not redeemed. I'm going to have a brand new body. Amen? And listen, we know. Here's assurance. When I close my eyes and this body goes, and I go, woo, I'm out. I'm free. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is what we call assurance. Do you understand? Assurance. We don't have nothing to be afraid of. But see, you have to believe that. See, remember, the root of assurance is faith. You have to believe what God says in His Word. The word confidence, it says again, it says being confident, that word being assured. I have that assurance. Tozer put it this way. Whenever God begins something, we have the assurance that He will finish it. Nothing will stand in the way of Him accomplishing His purpose in this world or in our lives. What God starts, He finishes, and nobody can hinder our God. Amen? Listen, every word of God is going to come to pass. He loves you. He's guiding you. All those things. Love, listen, I've given you this scripture so many times over the years, I feel guilty giving it to you again today. But I'm going to tell you something. I have built my heart around the verses I'm going to read to you right now. Listen, they're some of the greatest passages in the Bible, and it has been my greatest source of strength and peace and assurance. No matter what I face in this life, I have assurance in my heart. And God wants you to have assurance in your heart. Let me give you that scripture that I've quoted so many times from the Amplified Bible, from Hebrews 13, verse 5, that says this: be satisfied with your present circumstances and what you have, Bill. I added that. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you. Now, do you believe that? Yes. Okay, do you really have that assurance in your heart? Whatever you're going through right now, your children, your marriage, your health, your finances, do you believe that our God will never fail you? That's assurance. It says, God has said, I will not in any way fail you. I will never give you up. Praise God. But I'm giving up. Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to give up. When you don't have any strength, I have all that you need, Bill. He says, I'll not in any way fail you, give you up. I'll never leave you without support. Listen to me now. It's emphatic in the Greek. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. And here comes that word, assuredly not. We have that assurance. God is assured. Are you assured? And He goes on and He says, oh, take comfort, be encouraged, confidently, there's that word, assuredly, confidently, boldly say, oh, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not be terrified. What can man do to me? And the answer is nothing. Amen. Loved one, listen, I'm going to tell you something. That is a great scripture. Amen. It will do no Christian any good unless you believe it. No, you have to believe it. You have to believe it with all of your heart. You have to believe that's how much God loves you and wants you. When you walk in love, every time I walk in love with those who have brutally destroyed me or tried to, in that pain, I had assurance because I was doing exactly what God said to do, walk in love.
Pastor's study continues on our next broadcast, and we invite you to tune in once again. And as always, we want to thank you for spending some of your day with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.